1 Corinthians, we are there, chapter 13. We are at the pinnacle of the Christian life. We are at the most important thing possessed by or acted on as a Christian. Amen. We are at the most important thing possessed by and acted on by someone who has been born again. Obviously, their salvation is the most important thing. But the next thing is 1 Corinthians chapter 13. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet I show you a more excellent way. Where we stopped last week was at the end of verse 6. Rejoice not in iniquity, but rejoice in the truth. And then we go to verse 7. I'll be honest with you. I know the verses of the chapter divisions weren't inspired, but man, the Holy Spirit did have something to do with them. I believe it. I really do. There's a couple places where it just, verse 7, it's the number 7. It's the number 7. And even though from verse 4 on, we're talking about the effects of charity, and they are characteristics. Paul said, examine yourselves. And as I examine myself, I think the first place I should probably go when examining myself is to go to 1 Corinthians, of all things, as much as we've said about the poor Corinthians, and I say one of the most important things that I think I could possibly do to examine myself would be to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 13, go to verse 4, look at myself and read 4, 5, 6, and 7. You know, the Bible says that the Word of God is the mirror. We look into a mirror and it shows us scarily, particularly in the morning when I got them stickies. That's what I call them, stickies. You know, when you sleep on your head wrong for 8 hours and that hair is just standing straight up in the air. Call them stickies. I look in the mirror and I'm like, whoa, look at that thing. It looks like two devil horns up there. The mirror shows me exactly what I am and what I need to fix. I need to fix my stickies. Usually it requires a dunking in hot water, either in the bathtub or the sink, to wet them stickies down and get them from sticking up. So as I look into the mirror and the mirror says, do something to it now. And as we look into the Word of God, it is exactly the same. It says, do something now. That's what the Word of God tells us as we look into it. And as I look into 1 Corinthians, and particularly as I look at chapter 13 and I get to verse 4, 5, 6, and 7, it's telling me to do some things right now. And as I look at those things, it's like, man, that is a long list. And that list, what that list does is it helps us to determine whether or not we truly possess this characteristic called charity. And we know what that is. It's love. But it's not the love of the world. It's not the love that the world's singers sing about. It's not the love that the people in the world experience. No one can really understand true love but a Christian. Yes, sir. Amen. How can someone that's not a Christian understand what true love really is? They can't. It's impossible. You must be saved to understand true love. particularly this, the charity that's described in the Bible. Charity suffereth long, it's long-suffering, and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. And if I can stick myself into any of those scenarios, that means that I'm not possessing it, or I'm not manifesting it. Doth not behave itself unseemly, seeketh not my own, is not easily provoked. Oh, man, am I easily provoked? Fortunately, she's the only one that drives around with me most of the time. None of you do. Not easily provoked. But here's the thing. This isn't so much talking about, here's where the real rub comes in. This ain't talking about our interaction with the world. All of these verses are talking about us. Our interaction with each other. He's not addressing the world here. The world knows nothing of this. He's addressing a church that was literally ripping each other's throats out. Who came to church to fight. That's what he's addressing. Who used their spiritual gifts to spar. And he's saying, you need charity. It's a more excellent way. It is definitely a more excellent way than what they were doing. Not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. I've done it. We've all done it. So-and-so walked out and they didn't speak to me today. So-and-so didn't shake my hand. So-and-so turned and walked the other way when I was walking up to him. We assume all the time, and I'll bet you 98% of the time, no, I'm going to bump that up one more. 99% of the time, we're wrong. I do it all the time. I do it all the time. God forgive me, I don't want to think that. I want that to really change in my life. I mean, I've been working on it, trust me. But I want it gone. I want it gone. I want it completely out of my life. I want it completely gone. I don't want to have to worry about it. That's just one less thing that I have to worry about. Thinking evil about something that I assume or perceive. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Oh, they got theirs. I'm not talking about outside in the world now. I ain't talking about outside the world. I've got a... Oh, I can't go there either. It's hard to give examples about stuff like this and not get in trouble. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Remember now, it's not talking about saying, well, Japan got a tsunami and that was God's judgment. No. It may have been. It may have been. Okay? That's between God and Japan. Not me. We're talking about right here, right now. Because if this is the word of God, it's just as applicable today as it was to Corinth in 64 AD. And he says, rejoiceth not in iniquity. And it's talking about us, how we think about each other. Because I'm never going to think rejoice in iniquity that happens to me. So if I'm going to do it, it's going to be because I'm doing it because of something that happened to somebody else. I'm like, well, I've been having a rough time lately. Maybe they needed to get theirs too. I don't know. But rejoiceth in the truth. And then we get to verse 7. Verse 7 is quite a mouthful. There are 1, 2, 3, 4 things there. 4. The number of the earth. Verse 7 is the final 4 things of a long list of characteristics of charity, but I believe God wraps it up right at the top of the list in all actuality. Sometimes the bottom of the list, the last thing that's said, is the most important thing, and sometimes it's the top of the list. And you can see that. I don't think it's any coincidence that it lands on verse 7. Beareth all things. Verse 7. There's 2 schools of thought on this, and I wrestled with this a bit today. Beareth all things. Love silently endures whatever it has to suffer. That doesn't mean you're suffering. That means my suffering. Okay? To truly have this kind of love, we have to go to a point in our lives where we are able to suffer wrong from our brothers and sisters in Christ and silently endure it. Or what we would perceive as wrong, or what we might assume is wrong, and the Bible says here, silently, because I dug into the definition of that. Way into the Greek, and I'm not going to take the time tonight to go there. Trust me. I looked at the Greek dictionary and went several routes back to see the whole thing. Now, this kind of love does not destroy all regard to ourselves. All right? This doesn't destroy that. There are wrongs that must be dealt with. There are offenses that need to be addressed because Jesus said to us in Matthew chapter 18, if there's an offense, what did he tell us? What did he lay out for us? Boom, 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 boom. 1, 2, 3. This is how you deal with it. So there's going to be offenses. And there's a remedy for that. There's a recipe for that. And I'm not going to teach on that right now. I'm going to wait till we get to that in Matthew chapter 18 in the life of Christ. Because that whole context of that chapter has been turned on its ear contextually. And we're going to try not to do that when we get to that chapter and talk about that. Or that the charitable man should neglect himself and all his interests. The key is this. It never seeks its own to the hurt of others, or to neglect others. Beareth all things. It never seeks its own to the hurt of others. In other words, I don't care if your feelings get hurt. This is what I'm going to do. Whether you like it or not. I shouldn't feel that way towards anyone here. I should care if something hurts you. I should care to the point where whether what hurts you seems wrong to me or not, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to do it. Whether I can find a verse for it or not, I'm not going to do it. I'm not going there. I'm going to bear it. It prefers the welfare of others to its private advantage. Now, I dug a little deeper into the word beareth.
It goes a little deeper into the Greek, and the actual Greek root says covers. It means to cover or to cover all things. The Greek word means to cover, a covering roof, to hide, to conceal. Here's the key. Not make known. Not make known. In other words, there are some things I just need to eat and keep it to myself. Mm-hmm. I just need to eat them and keep it to myself. Because in the scheme of eternity, that's how we need to think. And it's a kind of love that I think we may have lost somewhere along the line in our churches. We may have lost. I know this is a physical thing. This is just a... But when the Amish up near my daughter had a family, was it the house that burnt down? The whole house. When their house burnt down, the next day, they had everything that they needed to go on. And they had the house, all the materials rolling in less than 24 hours. Now, if they could do that for a works religion, where should we be? Because they're doing that because they have to. Now, not all of them feel that way. But where should we be? That's the best example that I could think of. Love here is disposed to hide or conceal the faults and imperfections of others. We all have our faults. We all have our rough spots. We all have our places where it's like that crazy cat that visits our house. You touch her the wrong way, man, and she's taken off. She just takes off. Love here is disposed to hide or conceal the faults and imperfections of others, not to put them out there. We're not perfect. None of us are perfect. But the last thing we need to do is put the faults or imperfections, and none of us are perfect, of others out there. And you know what really supplies the ability to do that today? Right there, man. We have the greatest opportunity to do that than any other generation that has ever lived on the face of the earth for 6,000 or 7,000 years. We have the propensity to do that so much faster than anybody else has ever had in the entire human history. To put it out there. Because after all, I'm right. This bearing all things is a willingness to either conceal or to bear them patiently. The word patience means the ability to take on affliction and trouble unruffled.
And don't take much to ruffle me.
And that's a problem. And if we look at our lives, it don't take much to ruffle us. A willingness to either conceal or bear them patiently. This isn't talking about criminal matters or matters that would require church discipline. This isn't talking about that. This is talking about the imperfections of others. And we all know we're not perfect. Believeth all things, and we're going to stop here.
And we'll finish that verse next week. This isn't talking about accepting everything that we hear and believing it. Remember now, believing all things is talking about interpersonal relationship. So, let's go back to the eternal pessimist. Guilty. Can I blame it on police work, Ed and Matt? Yeah, let's do it. I'm going to see the negative first. And you know what the Bible says? Law enforcement, career or not, I'm wrong. I'm wrong. Law enforcement, career or not, I can't blame it on anything but me. Do we believe the best before we think the worst? That's my quote. Write it down. It might be a good one. Could be in history. I didn't get that from a commentary. That's all me. Do we believe the best before we think the worst? Assume the best instead of assuming the worst. Well, he or she walked away from me because they got called away by another person or had to go talk to somebody. Not because they snubbed me.
Yes.
Accept the worst only after it is proven to be true and literally has to be dealt with. Otherwise, we go back to bearing and we eat it. Okay? This is probably, these 1, 2, 3, 4 verses are probably the most difficult things in all of New Testament Scripture to uphold to. Believe without suspicion. Don't jump on a bandwagon. The person telling you something might have an axe to grind. That happens all the time. Always give the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. That's charity. That's New Testament real love. It's one thing to say, I love you, brother. It's another thing to think the best before we think the worst. Talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. Always give the benefit of the doubt until proven otherwise. Believeth all things. That's what that's talking about.